Proverbs chapter 24, we're going to be looking tonight at two verses, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. Before we begin, I want to ask you a couple questions. Are you a wise person? Are you a wise person? What is wisdom? Another good question. What's wisdom? How does a person get wisdom? Is wisdom all that important? You know, a lot of people say, wisdom? I don't need that. Yeah, and it shows in their life too. And these are important questions. We need to know what wisdom is. We need to know how to get wisdom, and we need to know for sure we've got some wisdom from God. Now, we're going to be looking at that tonight. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. All right? It's good to remember that definition. It'll help you. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Now, the people in our world that reject God really aren't wise from God's perspective. They may have some intelligence. They may be smart. But they aren't wise from God's perspective, because they may make decisions that are, they think are smart decisions. They may be financially good decisions, but they don't necessarily reflect the mind of God. Because God doesn't always choose to do things the human intelligent way, because it isn't necessarily His way of doing things, and it's not the best for us. So wisdom is a God-given ability to make right choices. A person who lacks wisdom makes foolish choices. You know, you ever wonder why you make silly choices or foolish choices or just plain bad choices? You choose to sin when you shouldn't have chosen to sin. You make a silly purchase and you kick yourself later. Why do we do that? It's because we lack wisdom. We lack wisdom. We need God's wisdom to make right choices. People who lack wisdom fall into temptations much easier than those who have wisdom. Those who lack wisdom are easily deceived. And the one who lacks wisdom will not know how to govern his family. He's going to have problems in his family and his marriage and things of that nature because he doesn't know how to govern his family. Many problems in our homes today are due to the lack of wisdom. People lack wisdom. The book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs here, we find a huge emphasis on wisdom. A huge emphasis on wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs has about 900 verses in it. There are 53 verses that talk about wisdom. There are 62 verses that talk about wise. So you put those two together, that means over 10% of the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom. Wisdom is a very important subject to God. Now I'm just going to give you a little tiny scratch the surface example of what Proverbs talks about, of wisdom. It says in wisdom comes from the Lord, Proverbs 2:8. Wisdom brings true happiness, Proverbs 3:13. God calls wisdom the principal thing, chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is better than rubies, chapter 8, verse 11. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, chapter 9, verse 10. The humble often have wisdom, chapter 11, verse 2. Those lacking wisdom despise others, chapter 11, verse 12. Getting wisdom is better than getting gold, chapter 16, verse 16. Those who get wisdom love their soul, chapter 19, verse 8. Wisdom is too high for fools, chapter 24, verse 7. Fathers rejoice when their sons love wisdom, chapter 29, verse 3. The rod and reproof give wisdom, chapter 29, verse 15. The opposite of wise is foolish, Proverbs 29, verse 11. And we could go on and on and on and on of descriptions of what God tells us about wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Now tonight we're going to be looking at two verses that deal with the subject of wisdom. Chapter 24, we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. Chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Right, now, let's just pull this apart and examine what he's saying here. And as we look at this verse, you look at it and think, now how would I examine that? How would I pull that apart? How would I understand it? And as we pull it apart together, I want you to learn how to dissect this yourself and to be able to discern what God is telling us. First of all, I'm going to jump ahead of myself for a moment just to show you why we're doing things the way we are. Verse 13 talks about honey. And just reading it, you say, oh yeah, that's kind of nice. But I wonder why that's in the Bible. But then you see verse 14, it starts with the word so. The word so there connects it with verse 13. So it's saying, just like honey is this, so this is true about wisdom. Alright? Now that shows us a connection between these two verses. Now as we go back here, first of all, we need to look and see then that wisdom, like honey, is desirable. Wisdom like honey is desirable. Verse 13 says, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and honeycomb because which is sweet to the taste. Now, honey has a natural goodness to it. Most everybody knows that. Honey is good for you. Sugar is bad for you. Honey is good for you. Honey has got all kinds of nutrients in it. It is good to the taste. It's beneficial. It's health-giving. You can put it on sores and it helps to heal sores. Honey has got all kinds of good properties in it. If it is natural and hasn't been boiled and killed all the good things that are in it. So honey is very good for us. And God knows that and God tells us that. And He tells us how it is healthy here. And honeycomb, He says, is sweet and enjoyable because of its sweetness. I love to eat honeycomb. It's been a long, long time since I've had any honeycomb to chew on. But it's very enjoyable to just take a chunk of honeycomb and just eat it and chew it. And I've had some, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've had some that was wild honey. That's we'd cut down a tree when we're cutting for wood for the house or clearing some areas for the field. And we cut down a tree one day and in it was a beehive full of honey. And of course the bees weren't real impressed. But once they calmed down and we were able to set a fire around there and scare them off, the honey in it, we were able to open it up and we got buckets full of honey out of this tree. And it was, you know, every honey hive or beehive like that has a different flavor depending on where they've been collecting it. But God has made it so that they would do that so that we could benefit from it. Now, some things that are said about the honey. The pulpit commentary makes this statement. He says, honey entered largely into the diet of the Oriental and was regarded not only as pleasant to the taste and nutritious, but also as possessed of healing powers. All right, so it tastes good. It was healing powers. The Orientals, by the Orientals, is talking not about the Chinese, but it's talking, that's a term that was often used as the Bible Land people. The Orientals there would use it for that purpose. Now, Peter Stevenson, in his commentary, makes this comment. He says, honey is good in that it serves as a food. It's mentioned in 2 Samuel 17. And it is suitable as a gift, Genesis 43. And it refreshes, 2 Samuel 14. And it adds sweet flavor, Ezekiel 3:3. And it is also has a monetary value. And so all of these things tell us that honey was very important in their culture. And as we think about this, God uses honey in the Bible many times to compare it to other good things. For example, when God was getting ready to take the people of Israel out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, how did He describe the land of Canaan? He described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey. Now, that didn't mean that as you walk down in the woods, you'd see a river flowing through there, and oh, it's full of milk and honey flowing through the stream. Now, that's not what he was talking about. He was using it as a picture, though, letting them know two things that were very important in their culture was milk and honey. Milk was sweet and nutritious and health-giving to the soul. They drank a lot of sheep milk and goat milk and some cattle milk. But the honey was something very nice. If you had to go without sweetness, so you had no sweetness at all, I mean, they didn't have sugar like we do today. They didn't have those processed things. So if they didn't have that, then honey was your source of sweetness. And so the sweetness of honey was very important to them. And so it described the land as a land flowing with milk and honey. Did you realize that the manna that the children of Israel ate is described as tasting like honey? It's described there in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 31 as tasting like honey. We find also that the Bible says about itself in Psalm 19:10, one of those songs that we sing, says that honey, the Bible is sweeter than honey. Remember we sing that song, Sweeter Than Honey in the Honeycomb? All right? In Psalm 19, verse number 10. And then here in our text, it describes wisdom as like the sweetness of honey. So throughout the Bible, then, we're getting this idea that God is saying there's something really good about honey, and everybody agreed with that. So God used honey because all the people that in Israel knew honey was great. If you get a hold of a honey tree, boy, you've got a good one. And it was valuable. You could sell it. It was sweet. It made your food taste so much better. It was health-giving. You could put it on your sores. You could eat it to help get over various ailments. It was just good to be able to have a source of honey. And Israel was full of bees. And another valuable thing that's I guess you could call it a byproduct, or maybe the honey's the byproduct. But another valuable thing about the bees is that they pollinated all the plants. And that made Israel a very prosperous place, fruitful place. The fruit and the fields were very prosperous because of the bees and then all the honey. And then, as I mentioned earlier here, the word so connects the two verses together. And God is reminding us here then that just like honey is sweet and honey is good, so is wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is profitable to the soul, just like honey is profitable to the body. You know, we eat honey because it's good for us. Tastes good. And wisdom is enjoyable. It's beneficial. It is good. It is something we can enjoy. Wisdom is good for us, and it tastes good, like honey tastes good to our soul. It tastes good to our soul like that. And the God-given ability to make right choices is very beneficial for life. It's very beneficial. You know, you think about all the dumb decisions you've made because you didn't have wisdom. If we would have made the right decision, we can avoid problems, we can avoid traps, we can avoid making foolish choices, we can be more frugal, we can be more, our whole life can be better if we have wisdom. We need wisdom. We really do. And so wisdom is beneficial. Wisdom is sweet and pleasant, just like the honey is sweet and pleasant. Wisdom is more valuable than rubies and gold. You know, the Bible tells us that. You think about rubies. Rubies were a very valuable gem back then. They're still a valuable gem. And the Bible tells us that wisdom is better than these. And we'll see that in just a few moments. Now, wisdom like honey must be found. So our first point that we looked at here is that wisdom like honey is desirable. Secondly, wisdom like honey must be found. Verse 14, it says, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it." It's not going to help you until you find it. Same thing with bees and the honey. You know, and if you were living in the Israel days, and you didn't, I don't think they had little beehives. I mean, maybe they did. They may have figured that out, that they could have domesticated bees, if you want to call it that. But many times they would just find a tree. They'd watch the bees, and the bees would go into a tree, in a hollow tree, and they'd say, there's a tree full of bees. Or maybe in a hollow in the rocks, and they would find that, and they'd get in there and smoke them out and get the honey out of it so they could get the honey from it. But you had to find it. And many times it took hard work. It was a risky thing. You'd get stung. It was not an easy thing to get the honey and to find the honey and to secure it for yourself. And so it is with the Bible. The Bible, like that, the wisdom in the Bible must be found. No one is born with wisdom. I wish it was true that we were born with wisdom. It'd save parents a whole lot of heartache and headache if our kids were all born with wisdom. But the Bible says instead, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Foolishness is bound in their hearts. And God says that the only way you're going to get that out is the rod of correction. And parents that ignore that, they're allowing their children to grow up fools. The only way you're going to get foolishness out of their heart is following God's instructions. So God tells us their foolishness is there from their birth. It's a natural thing for a child to make foolish choices. You know, you stop and think about it. Most children, if you offer them something, let's say I pulled out a handful of lollies and a bowl full of fresh from the garden broccoli. What are the children going to take? Feed the broccoli to the chickens. We'll take the lollies. All right? Foolish choice. Why? Because it appeals to their flesh. They're not thinking, well, this is going to be a whole lot better for me. They're not thinking that. They're thinking, but this tastes so nice. Right? And so we make foolish choices many times, and children are full of that. And I remember years ago, my cousin, we used to occasionally work for my granddad baling hay. Granddad had a farm, and he would bale hay, and they'd make these bales, that, you know, the smaller bales, not the great big giant round ones, but the smaller ones. And we would help him put them in the barn. And my brother and I and my cousin, we worked for Granddad one day and all afternoon. And at the end of the day, Granddad gave us each a dollar. We thought, whoa, a dollar. I mean, we're probably, maybe 8 or 9 years old. We weren't real old. And he gave us each a dollar. And my cousin, when he got his dollar, he says, oh, I gotta go to town. I gotta buy something. I just couldn't wait to get to town to buy something. And my brother and I, we were all excited. We took our dollars home and put them in our bank because we were saving up to buy one of those race car sets. So we were all excited because we were going to save ours. My cousin, boy, he just wanted to go buy something out of his dollar because he just couldn't stand having a dollar in his pocket without being able to buy something. And so, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But wisdom is found by searching, just like with honey, you have to search to find it. And repeatedly, Solomon admonishes us to get wisdom. Here's a couple of verses here for you to think on. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Proverbs 4, 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, analyze that verse a little bit. You know, we need to think when we read the Bible. Solomon's speaking. He's speaking to his son. And he says, son, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. What does that tell you about dad's responsibility? Dad's responsibility was to give him words of wisdom. Because if dad doesn't give him the words of wisdom, then he can't get wisdom. So he's saying to his son, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't walk away from the words of my mouth. I am giving you wisdom. So dads, we have a big responsibility to make sure we give our children wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the number one thing you need in life, is wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? He said, wisdom is better to get than gold and understanding rather than silver. You know, many people, and sadly even a lot of Christians, they rear their children teaching them, all right, now you got to grow up to get a good job and make lots of money because gold and silver are important in life. And God says, wait a minute, that's not it. God says, wisdom is far better than gold and silver. If your son or daughter grows up and they live a fairly poor life the rest of their life, but they are wise, you win and they win. And God will bless you. But if they grow up to be wealthy and famous and forget God, you lose and they lose. That's not what we want. God says, wisdom is far better than all these things. Now, how do we get wisdom? You know, that's really the bottom line. How do we get it? We need to find it, but how do we get it? God tells us that it begins with a genuine fear of God. A genuine fear of God. Now, having a respect for God's authority over our life. When a person respects the authority of God in his life, the first thing that will change in that person's life, when they really respect the authority of God in their life, is they will get saved. They will see their lost condition in need of a Savior. And then, that is the beginning of wisdom. So here's the bottom line. An unbeliever cannot get God's wisdom. An unbeliever cannot get God's wisdom. Now, they can do some of the same things that we do that are kind of wise, but they don't have God's wisdom. Because God-given wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. And we read in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Here's why I made that statement. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. So God says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if you're going to get wisdom, you've got to first fear God. And a person that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior doesn't fear Him enough to trust Him as their Savior. And so an unbeliever can't have the same kind of a wisdom. They can be smart and they can make some good decisions sometimes, but they can't have the same kind of wisdom that we can have if we know the Lord. Now, before we can get wisdom, we must give up our own wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. God says, don't labor to be rich, cease from your own wisdom. That means stop. Stop your own wisdom. Don't try to figure things out in your own wisdom. God says it's not going to be good. Number three, we must humbly desire God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. A scorner seeketh wisdom and finds it not. Why? What is a scorner? The word scorner there means a proud, boastful person. A proud, boastful person will seek wisdom and not find it. Why? Because God does not give His wisdom to a proud, boastful person. Because the proud, boastful person says, I know how to figure it out. I don't need to ask God. I don't need to look in the Bible. I can work it out myself. A proud, boastful person is foolish because they don't seek God for wisdom. They may want wisdom. They may think, well, I want to be wise, but I can figure it out myself. And they try to do it themselves, and it doesn't work. We must apply our hearts to wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. To apply our hearts. You know, in school, a student that wants to get good grades must apply their heart to study. God says, if we're going to have wisdom, we need to apply our hearts to wisdom. That means wisdom's got to be important to me. I've got to make it a priority in my life. I've got to seek it. I've got to want it. That's important to me if I'm going to find it. Now, I want you to flip over with me to this next section, Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to look at several verses here. Proverbs chapter 2. God gives wisdom to those who diligently seek for it. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and have my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as for silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and shall find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now what did God say? He's telling us here that wisdom is found in His words. And His words are recorded in this book. And so God's saying, if you want wisdom, you need to dig into this book. And how did He say to do it? He said you need to hide His commandments with thee. Means to read them, meditate on them, memorize them. He says, incline your ear unto it, listen to it through preaching. Apply your heart to it, have a desire for it. He says, cry after knowledge. God, please teach me from your word. Ask God for it. Lift up your voice for understanding. Seek it as silver and search it as for hid treasures. You know, there's people in our world that they live for money. They'll go out searching for gold and things like that. But not just that, but their whole life is all about, I can make a buck if I go over here. Over here, I'll get rich if I go over here. If I try that, if I invest in this, I'll make more money. And their whole life is possessed with getting a little more, getting a little more. I want some of that. God says we need to seek wisdom as they seek silver and search for it as for hid treasure. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wisdom comes from God through His Word. And so if you want wisdom, you're going to have to spend time with God. It's found in the Bible. Now, wisdom like honey is very beneficial. It's very beneficial. The end of the verse there in chapter 24. Back to chapter 24 again in verse number 14. But the end of verse number 14, it says, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. There's going to be a reward. With honey, honey was beneficial. You eat it, it can make you well, it can strengthen you, it can revive you, it can heal your sores, it can do lots of things. Honey is beneficial, but if you don't use it, it won't do you any good. So, It is beneficial to you. And just like that, wisdom is beneficial to us. It'll keep us from all kinds of heartache. Now, if you haven't taken your finger out of chapter 2, go back to chapter 2 again. We're going to continue on there in chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Proverbs is one of the best chapters in the whole book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a fantastic book. But chapter 2 is a great book. Great chapter. And look down at verse number 10. All right, so we saw through verse number 6, he's telling us how to get wisdom. And verse number 7, I'll start there. We'll keep right on going. Verse 7, lay up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A buckler is a helper. And so he says he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly, to keep thy path, the path of judgment, to preserve the ways of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Verse 10, listen carefully. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. God says, when you get wisdom, I'm going to tell you what it'll do. He says, when you get it, this is what it'll do for you. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward or crooked things, who leave the paths of the upright, of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in frowardness or crookedness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. All right, now, what has he said? He's talking, he's given some advice here, I think probably to his daughter. And girls, ladies, this is important. He says, and it applies to men too, but it has a really good application for the ladies. He said, if you get wisdom, it will deliver you from the evil man. The man that speaks crooked things. You can't trust his words. And the one who rejoices to do evil. He's always doing bad things. And he delights in the crooked things of the wicked. And whose ways are crooked. His paths are crooked. Now the ways in his paths are the way that he go. You know, especially you young ladies that one day will find a wife, a husband. You need to think about this. He says that it'll lead, this guy, his paths are crooked. And his ways are crooked. The way that he goes, the ways are ruts. You know, this is the way he always goes. He goes off into the bad things. He does bad things and wrong things and wicked things. And he says, it'll deliver you from all of that. It'll lead you away from that. And then he turns to the guys in verse 16 and he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So she's a woman that's flattering with her words. She's going to lead you astray. Which forsake the guide of her youth and forget the covenant of her God. The guide of her youth, probably talking about her father that guided her. And the covenant with her God is her marriage covenant. She's forgot all about that. And she's out looking for trouble and causing men to fall into adultery and wicked thinking with her. So she's forgot all about that. Verse 18, her house inclineth unto death. Her paths go unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. They're headed for destruction. Big trouble. That thou mayest walk in the ways of good men. All right? So he says here, now he's turning back to both of us now, the males and the females. So he says, it'll keep you men from the strange woman. Wisdom will protect you from temptation. Then he says to all of us, verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. What is he saying? He says, if you get wisdom, it'll help protect you from all kinds of temptations. It'll keep you from the deceitful crooks. It'll keep you from the guy that comes to your door, knocking on your door and saying, I got this great deal. You know, it's only going to cost you $200 and you get all this stuff. What a great deal. But he's really tricking you. And wisdom says, no, I don't think so. We'll pass on that one. Why? Because God gives you wisdom. But it's also going to help you in all kinds of temptation situations. It'll help you ladies when you're tempted by men who will lead you astray. It'll help you men when women are there to tempt you, to lead you astray. And we are filled with those kind of things. We're bombarded with that in our world today. all around us. And God says wisdom will protect us and help us. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. Every one of us needs wisdom. And he says here that wisdom will reward us. It'll help us. It'll be beneficial. And then he ends up there and he says that the expectation of wisdom will never end. The expectation, the word expectation talks about the hope. The hope. You know, what he's saying is, you eat honey. Let's just say tonight I had a jar of honey and I passed it around and everybody got a taste of the honey. You say, ah, that was good. Tasted good, made my belly feel good, and it kind of satisfied my hunger. I don't have any hunger pains anymore. That was nice. But tomorrow morning, that honey's not doing you any good anymore. Well, not much. I mean, it still had some nutrients in your body, but you're hungry again, and you long for it again, so you need it again. But he says the expectation of wisdom will never perish. You get wisdom, it'll stay with you. It'll be there all the time. If you've got wisdom, and God gives you that wisdom to make right choices, the God-given ability to make right choices in life, whether they're choices of temptation, whether they're choices in business, whether they're choices at the grocery store, whether they're choices of all these major decisions in life, whatever the decisions are, God wants to give us wisdom. And we need God's wisdom. And God says, if you get it, it'll last you a lifetime, as long as you hang on it. It'll last you a lifetime. It doesn't go away. It doesn't melt. It doesn't, it doesn't fade away. It's not going to leave you. It'll stay with you. You know, we ask ourselves that question again. How much wisdom do I have? How wise are you? How much of God's wisdom do you have in you? You know, the more you study the Bible and let it sink into your heart, the more wisdom you'll get. And you know, folks, it's not just about I read my chapter a day to keep the devil away, but I don't have a clue what I read. That's not going to do the job. We've got to let it soak in. I've been trying to teach you how to pull verses apart and look inside of them and dig it out and get in there and find out what's this talking about. So when you read your Bible in the morning, you find one verse or one section that speaks to your heart, and then spend 10 or 15 minutes just looking at it, pulling it apart, examining the words, asking yourself, how does that fit? If you read these two verses, I read these earlier in the week, and I think it was on Monday, read these two verses, and I wrote them down, and I said, I got to have that. That's important for me. Honey is sweet and tasteful and enjoyable and healthy, but so is wisdom, just like that. And I thought about that. I compared the two of them. I looked up other things that fit in there with them, and I looked up other verses that talked about, and I spent some time meditating on that and trying to get it stuck in my head. Now, my head doesn't stick too good, but I try. But you know, the more that we get stuff in our minds, in our hearts, the more wisdom we'll have. And so it's something we've got to do on a regular basis. You know, because we're forgetful people, all the more reason why we need to read and read and read and read and read the Bible. Because we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. And it all starts, where does wisdom start? Remember what he said? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is having the respectful fear of God that first of all leads to salvation and then enables us to gain God's mind. So it has to start with making sure we really know the Lord. Once we know the Lord, then we can start gaining His wisdom. Until we know the Lord, we're not going to make wise choices. Oh, I'm not saying the world is all a bunch of ignorant people and they make a whole bunch of stupid mistakes. Sometimes they do. Occasionally they make some wise choices. But they don't have God's wisdom. They don't have God's Holy Spirit working in them, using the Word of God and reminding them of to be prudent and careful and don't believe that and don't go fall for that and let God's Spirit work through the Word of God in our hearts. They don't have that. They don't have that wisdom working in them. And so they tend to make a lot of bad choices. Now, the only way we're going to get it is by spending time with God. And we can make all kinds of excuses. And you know, Christians are full of excuses why they can't read the Bible. But you know the bottom line? Is that every excuse for not reading the Bible is just sin. That's all it is. It's sin. God expects us to read the Bible. If we do not read the Bible regularly, we're sinning against God. And we're sinning against our own soul. Because the Bible is the source of our wisdom. It's the source of our cleansing. It's the source of our strength. It's the source of our encouragement. It's the source of everything. And if we don't spend time in it, we're sinning against God. We're hurting ourselves. We've got to be in the Bible. And we're going to lack wisdom if we don't spend quality time in the Bible. So, if you haven't been spending time in the Bible every day, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, get into the book. Because you are lacking wisdom. You cannot have the wisdom of God without spending time in the Word of God. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. And then let's pass that wisdom on to our children, especially fathers. God exhorts us to pass on that wisdom to our children. In doing so, we're passing on the Word of God to them, teaching them the Bible, spending time with them, teaching them about the Word of God, giving them principles, showing them how to do the things of life and how to make right choices based on the Word of God.